today, as the government launches an official Brexit public information campaign on commercial radio, and Theresa May desperately tries to drum up support for her deal, we ask, is Britain really going to leave the EU in 2019? And...
traitor!
The Guardian's Owen Jones on facing abuse outside Parliament.
What will happen when the UK leaves the EU? Do I need to renew my passport earlier than planned?
So we've made it, the year of Brexit. Britain is due to reach its destination on March the 29th, 2019, and leave the EU.
Find guidance and up-to-date information at gov.uk/EU exit.
Or is it? Let me warn you, I'm going to be flogging some road metaphors in this episode because we are sticking Brexit in the sat-nav. And Patrick Winter. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
The Guardian's diplomatic editor is going to be our guide. Because it's quite a journey left between now and March. And the GPS is definitely suggesting multiple routes, all of which have big implications for a number of characters. Theresa May, of course, but also Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, DUP leader Arlene Foster, the former Foreign Secretary and Brexit architect Boris Johnson, and...
Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
We may even have to disappoint Brenda with a general election. From The Guardian, I'm Anoushka Astana. Today in Focus, is Brexit really going to happen in 2019? Okay, Patrick, let's assume Theresa May pushes ahead with a parliamentary vote on her Brexit deal. Route one, she wins. How could she manage that?
Well, the one way she can do that is through the negotiations she will have been holding over Christmas and in the new year with the European Commission and with key figures in the European Union, such as Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor.
Well, what we've been doing since we decided not to go ahead with the vote in December, having listened to the concerns that have been expressed by members of Parliament, is obviously I've been talking to European leaders and we got some changes, some...
She would have persuaded them to give her either a legal or semi-legal text, which gives an assurance that the UK will not be stuck in this Northern Ireland backstop indefinitely, which is the one issue that really exercises the DUP and also exercises the Eurosceptics.
The DUP being the Democratic Unionist Party, they're very worried that this backstop could mean a division between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. If Theresa May wins this vote, that would be a career-defining coup for her, wouldn't it?
It would be extraordinary. I mean, already she's been marked up as someone possessing extraordinary qualities of resilience, persistence and duty, alongside some frippery men who've been angling for her prime ministership. So I think it will be a moment when she will have been given a place in history.
If it does happen, the deal goes to the European Parliament, they ratify it. That means the withdrawal agreement goes ahead. So we pay £40 billion, our divorce bill. The Irish question is kicked down the road, a different road than the one we're on right now. And we then know what happens to EU citizens living in Britain. What will they need to do?
Well, the main thing they will face is a requirement to fill in a form by 2020, which will give them a full status to stay in the UK. They'll have to pay £65 if they're over 16 and £32.50 if they're under 16. And they'll be able to do that from the 30th of March 2019. And there will be different requirements according to how long you've been living in the UK, and 5 years is the eligibility cutoff.
And this has really upset people, hasn't it? I mean, there was a Home Office tweet telling people to sign up and I saw some furious responses.
Well, I think, yes, coming over Christmas, this kind of jolly note from the Home Office saying, reminding you that you only have a temporary status in the UK, when many people emotionally and practically have lived here for such a long time.
I came and settled in this country on the condition that I had those existing rights, you know.
I feel very sad. It makes me feel very, very sad that suddenly I'm become an outsider.
this kind of reminder that they're not actually British citizens or really members of British society in the same way as others, I think what did upset a lot of people.
Under this route, we reach our destination on March the 29th. Brexit happens, but we have a transition period. Businesses have 2 years to prepare. But as you pointed out, it's not that likely to happen. If we go back to that first fork in the road, it's more likely that we'll set off on a different route than the one we've just talked about, because Theresa May isn't likely to win the vote, is she?
Not on current numbers. If you think of the fact that 120 Conservative MPs didn't want her as Conservative leader, that she had to pull the vote previously because she was going to lose by such an astronomical number, and the indications are that there's nothing big coming out of the European Union in terms of kind of reassurances about the backstop.
In that case, we're going to be taking a different route this year. There's a number of options if she does lose, but presumably one of them is for Theresa May to try again. And in that situation, she would need to look at Parliament and figure out if a majority is possible. In that situation, DUP leader Arlene Foster could be really important.
We're not advocating a no deal, we're advocating a better deal. And we've said that consistently, and I will keep saying that because that is what I want to see achieved. Theresa May
knows she'll be critical. I think Downing Street regards the DUP as the way through to the minds of Tory Eurosceptics as well.
To have an agreement without this unnecessary backstop arrangement.
If the DUP can be persuaded to accept the deal, revised with some kind of legal additions to it, then other Conservative MPs will also be happy to accept the new deal. But it's going to be very, very difficult. And I just think at that point, when there's been a defeat, the game changes a little bit and everyone has to recalibrate. It becomes more serious. People sense that there is a real possibility of a no deal. There's a real possibility we're going to go to a second referendum, and she will hope that the two extremes on both sides in Parliament will start to converge in the middle, which is where her position lies.
And assuming that the Brexiteers are not going to come on side, is there any chance that the Prime Minister could look to the Labour Party?
Well, that would be the logical thing to do. She could shift her position closer to that of the Labour parties in terms of the customs union. And the other option is whether some Labour backbenchers start to fray and indicate to Downing Street that they're willing to defy the Labour whip and back her deal.
And if she did try and change the position in order to get a majority, she would then need to return to Brussels to renegotiate. Who would be the key figures in that situation?
Well, the key figure would be Jean-Claude Juncker, the European Commission President. It's very important to remember that the European Union wants a deal. They think the deal they've offered is a good one.
This is the deal. It's the best deal possible. And the European Union will not change its fundamental position when it comes to this issue.
But they realise the consequences of no deal would be catastrophic for all sides. And I think it's worth bearing in mind also that the Irish government currently is seen to be having a diplomatic triumph.
There has to be a proposal that we can accept. So it can't be a proposal that contradicts what is already in the withdrawal agreement.
But it could be a diplomatic disaster if no deal occurred in terms of the context for trade relations between the UK and Ireland.
OK, so potentially the European Union at that stage could consider some form of renegotiation. You mentioned Jean-Claude Juncker. He's a real character. Just tell us about him.
Well, I think he's a very, very proud European. He's also willing to annoy others. He's willing to be independent.
I will never again attend a meeting of this kind.
And with only a few weeks, months left of his Commission presidency, there's every sign that he's going to try and preserve his legacy, and one of his legacies will be a smooth Brexit. So he's obviously, people say he's a bon viveur, that he drinks too much. He claims it's all down to sciatica. But he's quite a wily operator, and he knows how every string and every legal codicil can work inside the European Union.
Have you ever met him?
I have met him, and it was not a very convivial event, actually. It was a rather
what happened?
It was a very formal discussion about some aspect of David Cameron's renegotiation of the European Union.
What did he say to you?
Just that he thought my questions were close to being facetious, which they probably were.
Well, look at you. I once asked him and Donald Tusk a question at a press conference and they literally ignored me and just said something else. So there's a possibility that she could renegotiate in Europe, or that MPs really scared about what's about to happen could be persuaded to back her deal. But it does feel that individuals like Jean-Claude Juncker could prove to be a roadblock in this situation. In which case, we've got to go all the way back to that first fork. Theresa May loses the vote. But this time we're going on to route three. We are headed towards no deal because, legally speaking, that's the default position, isn't it?
That's right. The status quo, if nothing changes, is that by March 30th, we leave the European Union. Something has to change for that not to be the case. So we're on a kind of conveyor belt towards going over the cliff towards no deal.
And if that happens, Theresa May could push us in that direction, or the alternative is that she could resign?
Yes, I think if you're looking at, if she feels that she's got support in the cabinet, she will push for no deal, faced by those. She's got three options, in essence, of her deal, which is now under this discussion, defunct, or second referendum, or no deal. And I think she'll go for no deal. But there may also be pressure within the cabinet for her to resign at this point. There's certainly been indications to that effect.
And if she does resign, how does a Tory leadership election work?
It seems incredible that the UK would be rudderless at such a point of crisis. I think in practice her deputy David Lidington would be in charge, but they would try to get a Tory leadership election done within 3 weeks.
So the Tories are going to get two candidates to put to their members, and if they do that, well, one thing we know about Tory members, they love Brexit and they love Boris.
Chances of me being Prime Minister are about as good as me being as finding Elvis on Mars.
He's repeatedly denied it, but we all know he wants to be Tory leader. So on this route, could we be looking at Prime Minister Boris Johnson?
That's quite plausible. It's instructive to remember as recently as 2001, the Conservative Party membership, when they had a ballot, 39% voted for staunch pro-European Ken Clark. That's never going to happen again. So it's going to be a contest between different forms of Brexit. And Boris is the outstanding pro-Brexit candidate. And he's been the firmest advocate of it. And I would think he would win.
Thank you very much. Can we count your support in the election?
Yes, will
you vote for me?
Can I get something?
Yes, of course you can.
Do you think MPs would let him get to the membership?
That's obviously his problem. He's unpopular with part of the parliamentary party. And I think they know that he, if he gets to the membership, he will win. So there will be a big attempt to stop him, but I think it'll be very difficult.
And if we do get him, then Brexiteers are talking about a managed no deal. What is that?
I think it's a bit of PR, which is basically the same as a no deal. There is no such thing as a managed no deal. David Gawk described it in a cabinet meeting as a form of unicorns.
The unicorns have got their place, but I don't think mythical creatures are the sound basis of government policy.
It's another way of having your cake and eating it, but it doesn't exist. You either have a no deal or you have an arrangement, but there is nothing called a managed no deal.
Okay, so we've got unicorns, cakes, cars. We're still in the car. And at this point on our journey, we're heading towards no deal. And businesses and markets will be panicking, won't they?
They will be. This is the moment, like Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter film, where he says, can we panic now? Because I think people will start to panic, because for so long, it's an odd aspect of Brexit. It's been going on for 2 years. Everything seemed to be the same. Nothing changes. People read about warnings of this or that, of empty shelves, shortage of medicines, ferries not functioning, airplanes coming out the sky. And then it will start to happen. And so I think the markets, which are like a sort of Greek chorus, but with dollars attached, will really start to move.
But there's got to be another fork in the road at this point, because if there's one thing we do know about the House of Commons, is there is a majority against no deal. Presumably at that point, the Labour Party might consider holding a vote of no confidence in the government.
Yes, the Labour Party's been very reluctant to hold a no confidence vote for a variety of reasons, but given where we would have got to at this stage, it would be baffling if the Labour Party didn't hold that confidence motion. It's their stated policy to get towards a general election and a change of government, so they would have to do so at this point.
If Parliament votes down a Tory deal, or the government fails to reach any deal at all, we would press for a general election.
And if the Labour Party somehow won that vote, there would then be a 14-day pause when there'd be an attempt to find a new government, and would gradually be drawing in Buckingham Palace and the Queen into the whole process, because the palace will have to start making judgments as to which individual could command the confidence of the Commons.
My government's priority is to secure the best possible deal as the country leaves the European Union.
What do you mean they've got to make a judgment? I mean, is the Queen literally sitting there at this point saying, right, which of the men or women in Parliament do I think? I thought she was a kind of figurehead.
Well, obviously, there are, the reluctance will be to drag her in any way towards controversy. The key is to keep her above the whole process as much as possible. And she will only move and act when it's absolutely clear that there is an individual who's more likely to command confidence than somebody else. It's a very, very tricky moment. And I think gradually the fear of drawing her into party politics would be so great that the result would be to go towards a general election.
So we could end up with a general election. But given how divided both the main parties are on the central issue, Brexit, would it actually solve any of the problems?
I'm not sure it would, and in effect we'd be moving towards this moment when we leave the European Union with no deal, and there's no indication that the European Union would feel that they had a negotiating partner with whom they could trust, so I'm not sure what it solves.
And for the Labour Party, is there any chance that they would go into an election backing a second referendum?
There's a possibility of that. There's a huge amount of tension, obviously, inside the Labour Party about this issue. At the top of the very top of the Labour Party, there's a group that actually are in favour of Brexit ideologically. But the bulk of the Labour Party membership is in favour of a second referendum, and it'd be very difficult for Jeremy Corbyn to resist that.
So you've mentioned a second referendum, and that brings us to our final route, really.
Mm.
Is there any way in which Brexit is either paused or stopped, and Britain does not leave the EU in 2019?
Well, there are two ways. One is that Parliament decides that there is such gridlock that it needs to go back to the European Union and ask for the Article 50 process to be suspended. The European Union, I think, will only agree to that if they feel there's a real certainty that the UK is going to change its position. It's not going to agree to it if it's just a deferment due to disunity within Parliament. And the second route, of course, is the second referendum itself. And I think people in Parliament will only congregate around that option when they know all the other options have been exhausted.
Well, Patrick, I was feeling quite optimistic over the holidays, but you've just left me feeling extremely pessimistic because, as far as I can tell, we appear to be in a massive Brexit catch-22, and most of these routes either get blocked or take us over a cliff edge.
Yes, I think that is the truth. We are in a hell of a mess where there is no coalition or alliance or majority for any option at present.
So finally, can you get a tenner out of your pocket? I've got a tenner in mine, and we can have a bet. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, no one carries cash anymore, but
that's all right, I'll take card.
I'd still say that there is some form of Theresa May's existing deal that will get through Parliament.
So no deal or no Brexit on the horizon will scare MPs into voting for Theresa May.
Exactly, exactly.
I think they're going to extend Article 50. But we shall see. Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, those disgusting scenes that saw Tory MP Anna Soubry and Guardian journalist Owen Jones facing unacceptable levels of abuse. Welcome back. Owen Jones was simply walking from Westminster Tube Station to a broadcast interview opposite Parliament. when this happened.
Listen, you are a horrible little liar.
He says we need to take this new atmosphere of hate seriously before it's too late.
A group of fascists who I'm familiar with, they did exactly the same thing before Christmas. Came out of nowhere yelling,
traitor!
Terrorist supporter, prick, tampon, bizarrely. I started filming it because they always film their things, which is an attempt to create viral material to intimidate and show they've got another scalp. So I spent about 2.5 minutes ridiculing them as a producer escorted me to Milbank. What's going through my head actually at the time is that firstly, I'm not intimidated, and I need to make abundantly clear that I'm not intimidated. These people thrive off feeling they're intimidating people. I thought these were pitiful, if not slightly disturbed, fascists who needed to be made objects of ridicule themselves. That's not to say, obviously, that we don't take these things seriously. There is a rising far-right violent threat in this country, which has already claimed lives. What I know about this group is they're Tommy Robinson supporters. They wear Make America Great Again hats. They are fascists. They regard the left as traitors who need to be crushed.
Anna, I want to know why Anna, you're why making up you lies about.
Well, Anna Subi, someone I've had multiple run-ins myself. We have, I don't think, we have no truck with each other. The abuse she's received is disgusting.
We have to be absolutely, I do object to being called a Nazi, actually.
Right. Obviously, the same group of fascists targeted her.
This is what has happened to our country, actually. This is what's happened to our country. But anyway.
As somebody who is a Remainer, she's regarded as by them as a traitor. They see Brexit as a glorious national revolution, which is being subverted by a kind of metropolitan elite. 2.5 years ago, the Labour MP Joe Cox was murdered by a neo-Nazi terrorist. More recently, the Labour MP Rosie Cooper, there was a threat by an attempt by a Nazi to machete her to death. The police say they have foiled several far-right plots over the last year. And we have a media which splashes on the front pages, enemies of the people. Crush the saboteurs, blue murder, describing the left as terrorist supporters and sympathisers. Clearly, if you have mainstream newspapers describing their opponents as enemies of the people and traitors, you are going to legitimise in the minds of extremists a sense that, well, these traitors are traitors and they are fair game as a consequence. I'm afraid, and I'll say this as, you know, someone who gets, I get threats of death and violence every single day of my life. Somebody will be hurt or killed. Clearly, there is a... We do look sometimes, I think, at online abuse and think, well, you know, keyboard warriors. But I think what we're seeing outside Parliament at the moment shows that it isn't just some online phenomenon. The referendum completely transformed and disfigured political debate in this country. It's not to sound, you know, chilling or anything, but it's just a matter of time before they act again in a way which goes beyond yelling abuse and following people in the streets. But I might look like a teenager, but I'm tougher than I look, and I would never ever let the threat of the far right change anything I do or anything I say. As soon as you do that, they've won. The future does not belong to fascism and the far right. Knowing that is what should give everyone strength when they're facing them.
That was Owen Jones. Today's producers were Elizabeth Cassin, Amar Kalia, Rachel Humphreys and India Rackerson. Sound design was by Axel Cocutier. The executives were Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. See you tomorrow.